Chapter 11. Heart of Gold, Fists of Iron, Head of Tungsten. As Katami woke up the next day, next to Misaki as per the usual, he tended to his garden, which he was regrowing as a result of what had happened. He recently constructed a new shed so he could focus on building his musical instruments and ensure he would be able to do almost anything the same as he did when in Westneth. The people in Armra, after speaking to some locals in Kamisatu, were very musical people, though they did not have the best quality of musical instruments. That said, however, Katami knew he had to keep doing this, so after attending to his gardens, he went into his shed and started to work on his musical instruments again. Since he had not been able to do this for some time, he had to spend almost the entire day in there, taking a break every pair of hours to ensure he did not tire himself out. After he finished working on the instruments for the day, Katami was slightly tired. He went inside his shared shelter and sat at the table as the meat was being served to him. Misaki had gone ahead and cooked up some steak from the cattle he butchered. Katami had done so for animals that were dead and were unneeded for meat. Katami would never do swine or any other unclean animal. It was different, however, if it were a cow, sheep, goat, or any other clean animal, judging by the food laws, of which were still in effect even after the set-apart texts were written. Katami had always been a meat eater, though occasionally he would consume something from his crops if he was missing a nutrient, vitamin, or anything else of that sort. It was rare, but he had to do this sometimes. As the two of them ate, they talked about what they were up to. While Katami was working on his instruments, Misaki went to the local shops in Kamisatu and bought some items that the two of them needed. After she listed them off the top of her head, Katami knew why she bought what she bought. Granted, Katami let her handle the shopping, since she always had a list on hand, just in case she forgot something she needed to grab for either herself, Katami, or both of them. Usually, it did not take too long for either of them to really get their hands dirty in the shops, if it meant they had good quality at an affordable price. This went for anything they bought, though Misaki learned how Katami's frugality worked beforehand. She was still learning from Katami, though he always had pointers she would understand enough to implement into her own shopping habits. Katami, meanwhile, just sat at the table. He ate and never said anything while doing so. He was not the type of individual who spoke at the table, especially since his father forced this onto him, usually with a violent punishment. Nowadays, he did speak, though it was rare for him to do that, since he was forgetting the horrid scenarios he faced as a child. Then again, there were some things Katami would not change, or in some cases, he could not change. This was something he did not want to change for some time, before Misaki convinced him otherwise. Just as they finished eating, there was a knock on the door. Katami got up as Misaki dealt with the dishes, and he answered the door. Behind it was the King of Armra, Orstad as he was known, and two of his servants behind him. Katami stood there, stunned that the king would make another visit to Katami's shelter. As Misaki came up behind him, she giggled at Katami's expression and greeted the king. "Greetings, Your Highness. I did not think to tell Katami you were on your way." Katami just turned his head Misaki's direction and looked back at the king. He shook his head and said, "My apologies about that. My face must have been priceless."
"Please, do not worry about that, Katami." The king chuckled before continuing. "I told her to notify you, though she forgot."
Orstad cleared his throat before continuing.
"Anyway, I'm here to bring you to the castle. Misaki told me you were quite skilled in plant organization."
"Why, yes, I have been skilled in that since I was 20 years of age. Maybe since 19 years of age when I first started learning how to homestead."
Katami attempted to remember when he started at either 19 or 20 years of age. Katami had been serious about homesteading since he was 16, though he was broke at the ages of 16, 17, and 18. It was indeed a requirement that fox folk be broke at this age range so they could figure out what to do with their lives. Katami knew exactly what he had to do, since Methuselah called him, to not only be a prophet down the line, but also a luthier of numerous instruments, a homesteader, a prepper, and even an author. Meanwhile, the king escorted Katami to his castle,
which was small in the grand scheme of things. Misaki went with Katsumi, knowing that she would want to see how Katsumi worked his garden. As they walked to the castle, Katsumi regaled to the king his practical experience in dealing with plant life, both crops and otherwise, and what he did over the years, almost 10 at this point. At that time, however, Katsumi had tried loads of experiments, tiny ones at first, and what worked had stuck with him since. Nowadays, he had different micro-sections within his gardens for certain plants, crops, flowers, etc. When these experiments worked, it was only a matter of time when he would be able to say he had mastered gardening. Of which time he gardened, he had done around 5,000 hours of gardening, crops, flowery, etc. This was part of Katsumi's calling, point blank. Then again, it was nothing compared to what the king allegedly possessed, since he was the one who did the gardens himself, just like Katsumi. The king also regaled him similar experiences, though since he was raised in a noble lifestyle, he was never allowed to do such a thing until after he inherited the kingdom of Imra. Since getting its fruit and inheritance at the age of 3 and 30, he learned how to garden on his own, though he had some helping hands at his disposal. He learned how to do it himself first, before he asked for said help. Unlike Katsumi, since the gardens he had were huge, the helping hands were a requirement for the king. Otherwise, it would take all day to tend to every single garden. As they arrived at the castle, Ostrad escorted Katsumi to what looked to be a problem area. He then turned to Katsumi and asked him, "Could you perhaps take a look at what's occurred here?" He pointed to a hole in the ground before continuing, "I have a feeling this was done to send a message to me." Katsumi knelt on the ground and felt around the area. He had learned to notice when something was off and done by human hands or otherwise. After taking some time to inspect it with his own hands, his face turned dark with fear. He turned to Ostrad and simply regaled to him, "It had been stolen."
"Stolen?" Ostrad looked at the hole and then back at Katsumi. "How did you figure that out so fast?"
The king was in shock at what Katsumi noticed, especially with how quickly he became cognizant of the issue. This was one of his specialties, especially considering how disgusting it was for those who did not understand how Katsumi was able to do something like this.
"A witch turned your plant into something she would be able to use. She plucked it from the ground herself and intentionally left the hole there to send you a message." Katsumi's face was still dark with fear and dread, a grim expression plastered onto his face as he spoke.
"That was why many of my servants have passed away due to the poison."
Ostrad sighed.
"Thankfully, they had been buried."
"Did you not study what this witch did?"
Katsumi's face turned red with anger, but he was not angry at the king. He was angry with the witch that allegedly pulled this plant Ostrad was cultivating.
"That witch cursed the ground and made it to where anyone other than her that touched it died the death. However, if this was recent, within a month, someone like me could easily resurrect them, for their lives had not ended yet."
"All of them had died less than a week ago, Katsumi."
The king was hopeful about this.
"If it be Methuselah's word, would it be possible to resurrect them the way the set-apart text describes?"
"I can certainly look into that, though I need you to let me confirm it with the creator first before I go forward with it."
Katsumi was certainly willing to do this, as long as he knew it was not necromancy.
"They have been asleep for a week, so I can attempt to wake them up as if they were just sleeping souls."
"That would be fantastic."
Ostrad was very tickled at this, and Katsumi could not blame him. Meanwhile, Katsumi stood up and walked to a secluded area, devoid of anything that could corrupt his soul. He meditated on it, attempting to ensure he would be able to do this. His eyes were forced open, and his head moved to the direction of Methuselah, of whom was in front of him. Methuselah told Katsumi, "There is no need for thou. I hath awakeneth the sleeping souls, of whom died at the hands of a witch."
"Had the witch under thine hands been destroyed for her crimes?"
Katsumi was interested in seeing what had occurred from what Methuselah did.
"Yea, I had destroyed her,
and scared everyone else into following you. This was why you were feeling targeted. Something did not sound right about what Methuselah was saying. Katami knew this needed probing.
Are ye the real Methuselah? I ask thee, because I do not believe thou for a second.
Katami started the questioning. Of course I am the real Methuselah. Have thou not? Katami interrupted this warlock, saying,
Of course you claim that way.
He snatched the individual's neck and pinned him to a tree.
Why did you follow me all the way here, just so I would be targeted by a warlock the likes of you?
Of course, the warlock said nothing, for he knew he was found. Katami snapped and demanded, Answer me, you wanton woodman! Again, the warlock said nothing and attempted to keep a straight face. Katami slapped him hard, knocking him out. He then grabbed his dagger and slit his throat. He placed the individual in a body bag before blood could start spilling onto the ground. Katami tied the bag and threw it onto his back and walked back out. Ostrad saw this and asked Katami, Was that the warlock who followed us here? Katami nodded and said,
Yea, it was the warlock who brought himself over to us for some forsaken reason. He blasphemed Methuselah and thus blasphemed the spirit.
He was a godly pain in the behind for enormous years, and now you are just taking him out over the egregious numerous years of crime he had committed.
Ostrad remembered it like it was a fresh memory of the previous day.
He had done some of the most horrible things, including to my own children. I attempted to take him out stealthily, but I almost died as a result of an ambush, as if he knew what he was doing.
Katami heard someone running towards him, panicked and afraid. After the individual arrived, he told Ostrad,
Sire, there have been an army of witches and warlocks headed this way. They are targeting Katami and want him dead.
Katami just asked him, How many are after me this time?
I could not count.
The individual, who was elven in appearance, was wearing a traditional Ignakasak garb, a standard forest green robe with white and beige accents in certain areas.
If I had to guess, there were at least 200 of them at different locations, ready to strike.
That means they are all over Armra, for they know I shall be safe here.
He looked into the elf's eyes and said to him,
There is a chance they are scattered around my homestead, waiting to destroy it.
He looked down before saying,
I know that my brother-in-law shall harshly murder them for this crime.
One more thing, wise fox.
The elf sighed before he continued. I heard they were from Westneth, specifically the old town of Umorodorf, where the current bishop of Westneth was born.
Umorodorf?
Katami's face turned red with anger once again. His tone became poisonous as he told the elf,
That was the same town that ordered the destruction of Roquad village when I departed at 16. And they want to be dead, knowing I was to be a prophet for the fox folk, shunned and silent as a result of an insurmountable task only historical eschatologists could endure.
You are familiar with Umorodorf?
The elf looked to be scared for his life as Katami revealed his relationship with the townsfolk.
Indeed, I was familiar with it. It had now become a great city, and exactly where Westneth's capital is stationed. It was a town when I was 16, though it had grown in size.
Katami looked at the elf again and regaled to him,
There was no matter of how big it would grow, though I knew it would become a city. It would be ignominiously bad and grievous in its army, destroying anything they touched with an iron fist.
The elf knew what Katami was talking about, his eyes widening at what Katami had just said.
Bad and grievous, he muttered to himself, to the likes nobody had seen before.
Katami heard this and asked him,
Did you read the historical Altariat scriptures by chance?
Yes, I've done so.
The elf was confident in his answer, continuing, I had learned even from your writings. I may not understand Foxpeak, though I had read translated versions of your work. Katami's eyes narrowed, realizing what the elf had notified him.
Are you...
Katami took a look at him.
Are you the Ignagisok elf who wanted to translate my work for a long time? Arlurum, was it?
Yes, it is I.
Arlurum responded.
It had been a long time since I had last interacted with you.
I am surprised you are even serving His Highness in the first place.
Katami had no idea that the Ignagisok elf who translated his work was in his presence.
I had forgotten I had said yes to an Ignagisok translation to it.
He looked Alarum in the eyes and continued,
I digress, however. How long have the magicians been here?
That I do not know, for I had just witnessed two of them positioning themselves for something horrible to the people of Armra.
Arlurum could not figure this out easily.
Then that means they had to have been here since I had arrived and made my mark on some unused land that was not for sale, with nobody selling it.
Katami looked at Arlurum and told him,
I shall attempt to figure this out and maybe report back to you on that front.
Do not do that.
Arlurum looked straight at Katami, shivering in fear.
They shall kill me, for they know that I was weary of what they were doing.
We are surrounded then.
As Katami said this, Misagi and Ostrad were both taken aback. He turned to the two of them and said,
There is nothing we can do but get these people out of the Armra Mountains. They are to be destroyed in Wesneth and stay there.
Katami sighed before continuing.
Unless there was some force that did this for me, which was highly unlikely given my circumstances as a shunned silent prophet.
He turned to Arlurum and said to him,
Let us ensure our own safety before we discuss this. I want us to be in a safe, secure, and private location, so as to not do anything that would reveal ourselves to the sons of Mahshela.
Arlurum nodded and went his separate way. Katami turned to Misagi and Ostrad before continuing to inspect the garden. Ostrad took him to different areas he believed were affected, and Katami looked for signs of anything bizarre, diseased, and or anything that was off about a plant species of some sort. After this was done, Katami was brought inside the castle and looked at all the supposedly dead bodies. In total, he counted 16 of them. This was in connection when he departed from Roquat at age 16, being that 16 people were destroyed in the Ides of Roquat, a brutal massacre that occurred after Katami left the village, now a city of some sort. He took a deep breath in, and his voice boomed as he announced,
Children of Methuselah and the Creator, by the power vested in me, in the authority of the Creator, the Son, and the Spirit, I say to thee, come, rise up from thine slumber, and be lawless no more.
After saying this, all 16 people, just like that, had woken up from this loud boom. Some had rubbed their heads. Others moaned in pain, and some were just confused as to what happened. They all looked at Katami, still dressed in his yellow kimono he always liked to wear. They had no idea who he was, and this was something he was fully conscious of. He said to all of them,
I had just woken you up from a slumber that was induced to you all by a witch who had stolen some plants from the garden. You had gotten too close to it and immediately paid the price. I am glad Methuselah brought me here, through His Highness, in order to awaken all of you a week after you had fallen asleep. I hope you are energized enough to be aware of this type of thing, and avoid it like it is toxic.
One young vixen looked at Katami and asked him, Was that a cursed plant I attempted to remove? He looked at the vixen and told her,
Indeed, it was cursed by a witch. She came to the castle during the night and picked it up in order to use it in some alchemy. I had come here to check all the gardens His Highness had been growing, and only two of the plants had this curse. The others had essentially wild effects that befall anyone who even touched the plants by accident, be they itchy skin, boils, or leprosy.
A young Todd adjusted his neck and said to Katami, No wonder I was drowsy a week ago. I passed by one of the two plants with the sleeping curse, and I felt like I had passed away, thinking my time had already come.
It had not, young Todd, for that was just a spell
that could have lasted a month before your body did not work anymore. Katsumi knew the effect of the plant in question. After that month had passed, it would have already been too late.
I had no idea about the cursed plant. The young Todd looked at Katsumi and said to him, I am very new to the service of His Highness, and I knew something had to have been wrong when I entered.
He sighed before continuing, I am glad His Highness was not responsible for any of it.
Estrad chuckled before asking the young Todd, Did you think I knew about this type of alchemy to begin with?
The young Todd chuckled, knowing it was rhetorical. He and the other fox folk stood up, dusted themselves off, and went back to their normal duties afterward.
I believe my job here is done for the time being.
Katsumi turned to Ostrad and told him, Please, feel free to come by my homestead if you need anything further.
That I shall do.
The king bid him adieu for now, and Katsumi and Ostrad went their separate ways. Katsumi then walked back to the homestead with Misaki, now knowing that everything was solved for the castle. They were, however, still argus-eyed about the magicians in which Araloom had warned Katsumi about, knowing that they were everywhere, probably in the hundreds or thousands at this point. Armra seemed to be nothing more than a safe haven for foxfolk, though this might have disproven it easily. In light of that, both Katsumi and Misaki took paths they knew were the least likely to have SOM magicians prowling from hidden spots. This was the best thing they could do in this careful pathing. As they arrived back into their homestead, without any SOM magicians in sight, they hunkered down in the shared shelter and stayed close. This was just in case anyone had initiated an attack, and the other would harshly defend against it. Usually, Katsumi would defend against Misaki's attackers and usually kill them, as that was what the set-apart text said to do. Katsumi knew this by heart at this point, as he studied these texts from a historical perspective for over a decade, especially since he was 15 years of age, doing it secretly without anybody finding out. That was until he was 16 when he departed, for Methuselah had used him to start destroying Roquad Village and turning it into a city it was known for. A corruption haven for the criminals in Umoradorf. Umoradorf, as Katsumi knew it, was the epicenter of the Didikaian mystery religion. This was where all of the orders from the anti-messiah bishop of Westneth sat and reigned the entire world for over a millennia, 260 years. This was the 42 months in the prophecy already fulfilled for the anti-messiah's reign, and Westneth had the highly infamous Little Keratin, son of abomination and ruler of all sinful. This was when Katsumi went ahead and attempted to prepare for what could be his final spat with Westneth.